Mr. Spears with on direct by the appellants.
Hello, Mr. Spear. Welcome back. My name is Brandon Gribben. I represent the appellants in this land use appeal. I'm going to go ahead and pull up that Exhibit 22, the city's Exhibit 22 that you were just discussing with Mr. Mitchell. And it was your testimony that you prepared this document, correct?
That's right.
And at the bottom here, I see June 2022. Did you prepare that document this month?
I prepared this version of it this month.
Okay. So this was after the CEPA DNS was issued?
Yes.
And do you recall what changes, well, strike that. Do you recall the last version of this PowerPoint when that was made?
When it was made?
Yes, when it was created.
I remember that it was created during the time when the CEPA, several months ago is the best I can.
Thank you. And do you recall what changes were made since the prior version of this PowerPoint?
I remember that we took trees in environmentally critical areas out of the data so that the new tables reflect trees that were not in ECAs. There were a few other wording changes to clarify things that I recall, and I added some slides to clarify some things.
Okay. And so you mentioned the city doesn't have DSH, and when I say that, you understand I'm referring to diameter at standard height or diameter at breast height?
Yep.
Yeah. And so the city doesn't have data for the width of trees, so the solution that you came up with was to use height as a proxy. Is that correct?
Correct.
And the height of the trees, that was taken from the 2016 LIDAR information from the University of Vermont?
Yes.
Okay. So the tree heights that you analyzed, that was based upon that information from 2016?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to maybe take me through this again, because I didn't quite follow you in terms of how you determined a tree's width based upon its height.
We didn't determine any tree's width. That's not something we did.
Okay. So could you explain again how you determined the number of new exceptional trees at 24-inch DVH or greater?
We used a statistical kind of analysis, and we vetted with Mr. O'Neill that assumed that the distribution of trees with, I'm sorry, could you ask the question again, because I may be out of answering the wrong question.
Sure. So I'm trying to understand how you determined the new number of trees that had a certain DVH.
Okay, so the new number of trees that have a certain DVH could have been determined strictly based on the San Francisco curve. Once we decided we had the San Francisco curve, then all we had to do was apply that to the number of trees in the city. We have the number of trees above a certain DVH.
Okay, so I guess backing up a step, how did you determine that the San Francisco curve applied to Seattle?
We looked at climate types. There's a scientific climate classification, the name of which escapes me, that classification was applied to all of the cities in the study. We looked at what Seattle's climate classification was, and San Francisco was the coastal city in the United States that had the climate classification that was closest to that of Seattle. That and the combination of that and talked to Deb McGarry, and she said that in 30 cities in the state, San Francisco should be those.
Okay. And so, is it correct that you looked at San Francisco, and because it was a similar climate, that means it would have a similar similar types of trees? Is that a fair statement?
Not necessarily. It's similar distribution of the configuration I can't forget what the word is that the scientists use, but basically the way the trees are built. A similar
okay. So is it fair to say that San Francisco was comparable based upon sizes of trees but not species?
Not necessarily species. I assume it's distribution of species.
And you're coming in a little quiet again, so I don't know, maybe
I'm
sorry. Okay.
You can pay more attention. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that. Okay, so here it says, according to expert, height roughly correlates to DSH, but it turns out that's not the methodology you used for your ultimate analysis.
Height does roughly correlate to DSH, and that's all we need to know. We don't need to know that for a particular tree. We can predict the DSH by knowing the height. All we need to know is the height roughly correlates to the DSH. In other words, if you put height on the vertical axis and DSH on the horizontal axis, and you draw a line, that line will generally go upward. That trend is upward. And it'll be basically a straight line, and that's what we need to know for this analysis.
Did you cross-check at all with specific trees to determine, okay, we've determined?
That wouldn't have made any sense whatsoever.
And can you explain why not?
Because that would be literally not seeing the forest for the trees. I can guarantee you that there are almost no trees, individual trees in the city, for which you could predict the DSH by knowing the height. Well, I guess if you knew the species of the tree and everything else about the tree, but that's not relevant.
Okay, so is it your testimony that, strike that. Okay, so you talked earlier about the nationwide tree study. And this is a study of 30 cities, not including Seattle, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And they had information about tree height and tree DBH?
Yes, they measured that on the ground. And it was sampled. It wasn't for all the trees in those cities. It was for a sample of trees in each of those cities.
And is this that iTree survey that I saw on some of the documents?
Yes.
Okay. And is there a reason that an iTree survey was not done for Seattle?
We didn't do an iTree survey for the city of Seattle because it's very expensive.
Would that have provided more accurate information with respect to tree height and tree DBH?
With respect to the distribution of tree DBH in the city, yes, if we had done the same study that they did for these cities, undoubtedly it would have given us a more reliable DBH curve in the sentence.
Okay. And so you looked at this nationwide tree study and you said, okay, looking at this black line, is that the average, I guess, distribution between height and DBH among those 30 cities?
Yes, it's a linear regression analysis.
And then you said you cross-referenced this with Acela and determined that this line undercounted the size of trees in Seattle. Is that correct?
Yes.
And can you explain that, what you did specifically with respect to Acela and how you cross-referenced this, what I'll call the national average of the 30 cities?
Sure.
Oh, Mr. Scare, can you?
I'm not sure that the numbers that I give you, as I say this, are going to be 100% accurate enough, but I'll basically explain the concept to you. So we queried Excella to find out two things. How many permits in a given period, a two-year period, I don't remember how specifically all the period was. Several quarter period, which might have been 7 quarters. How many permits during that period required tree tracking, which means that their permits in the sturdy ground, they're trying to permit it, that would require us to track the trees on that. And then of those permits, how many required tree reviews?
Okay.
And so the ratio that required tree reviews was much higher than would have been predicted by the data that we got, or by this curve.
Okay, so I'm going to just make up some numbers for just illustrative purposes here. So is it to say, you said, okay, there's 1,000 permits in the last 2 years. 100 of those permits had a tree review, which tells us that 10% of all permits had a tree review. And then compare that to the nationwide study that said there's more than 10% of the, or yeah, more than 10% of the exceptional trees, more than 10% of the trees are exceptional in Seattle.
The nationwide study said that there were less, that the nationwide study number for exceptional trees came out lower than the exceptional. So it's the opposite.
Okay, so that scenario, but then, you know, 10% of permits had an exceptional tree component, and the nationwide study had 5%. That's how you determined that there was an undercount?
Yeah, it was actually something
true. Okay. And once you knew the percentage from Acela, did you compare that to San Francisco to determine that its curve was more appropriate, or did you abandon this methodology and just look at a comparable climate?
We compared the Acela number to the San Francisco curve number and it's I don't specifically remember the exact numbers.
So it was sort of both things. One, it was a similar climate, but then two, the Acela percentages matched up better than the nationwide tree study.
Correct.
Okay. And did you consider at all, did you consider at all that a developer might not apply for a permit with an exceptional tree?
We didn't model any behavior changes that would result from that.
Okay.
From the conditions.
So you assumed that a developer would view a property, you know, all other things being equal, a developer would view a property with an exceptional tree and without an exceptional tree the same.
We didn't assume that at all. We assumed
Sorry, objection. I was muted. Asked and answered.
I object because that mischaracterizes the testimony.
Mr. Spear, hold until the objection has been resolved. Your response as to the objections. Mr. Griffin.
I don't recall Mr. Spear testifying on this question at all.
Well, I think he testified that he didn't factor in any behavioral changes, is what he said.
And your response to Ms. Newman's objection? I'll just do them both at once.
I didn't hear Ms. Newman. Can you repeat that?
I might have to hear the question again, but it sounded to me like it mischaracterized. It was making an assumption that mischaracterized the testimony of Mr. Spear.
If you don't mind repeating, Mr. Graham.
Sure. So Mr. Spear, let's just make sure I have this clear. You said you did not consider any behavioral decisions when looking at permits with an exceptional tree review and those without?
Well, our analysis assumed that people would treat the new exceptional trees the same way that they treated people, the existing exceptional trees.
Okay.
Okay, so with that clarification, before we go further questions, we've got two objections on the table. What's our status now? Are you withdrawing the question, Mr. Given, or do you want to repeat it?
Let me just repeat it and see if there's further objections.
Okay.
So, Mr. Spear, you mentioned that you compared the percentage of permits, existing permits with a tree review, to the percentage of exceptional trees in the city of Seattle. Is that a fair statement?
And Mr. Spear, hold your answer. Keep the question in mind.
Okay.
Are there objections to the question? I need to address the objections from earlier, Mr. Mitchell or Ms. Newman.
I'm getting confused, but I think Mr. Spear, when he earlier answered it to say that they compared the actions associated with exceptional trees. Okay. Sorry, it's late in the day and I'm getting hungry and I'm losing
weight. Right. Is there an objection to the question that was just asked? It's probably going to have to be re-asked at this point. So.
I know. I don't even remember what it was, but I don't think so.
Okay, there's no objection from Ms. Newman. Mr. Mitchell?
No, none.
Okay, the objections have been addressed. Mr. Spear, if you remember the question, you may answer it or you may ask Mr. Griffin to restate the question.
Yep.
Mr. Spear, you're kind of trailing off again. Can you say that? Again.
Okay.
Do you need me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is where a court reporter is helpful, but I'll try. Okay. So for my sort of hypothetical here, you looked at, you know, the most recent 2 years worth of permits. And if there was 1,000 permits and 100 tree reviews, you determined, okay, that gives us 10% of all permits have a tree review component. You follow that? And when you compared that to the number of exceptional trees that you would expect to see in the city of Seattle based upon the nationwide tree study, I'm going to move off this topic now for the time being.
Okay,
so looking here at page 10, the percentiles and height thresholds, is this a summary of the information you obtained from the LIDAR, the 2016 LIDAR?
This summary does come from the information we obtained.
Okay. And
the data on the right comes from the right hand column comes from.
Okay, and where does this percentile rank information come from?
That comes from the same.
Okay. And what percentile rank of what? Of the DSH?
Correct.
Okay. So does this mean that based upon the San Francisco information, 27% of all trees are at least 12 inches?
Think about this answer. Yes, 27% of trees are 12 inches or greater.
Okay, and so that's based upon San Francisco, who's actually looked at how wide are our trees at DBH. And you looked at the 2016 LIDAR data and said 27% of all trees are at least 65 feet tall. Is that accurate?
Or at least 65 feet tall, that's right.
Okay. And so for the 24-inch, we're saying that, you know, 11% of all trees in San Francisco are at least 24 inches DVH. And therefore, looking at the LIDAR data from 2016, 11% of all trees are 89 feet. Okay, thank you. Now, your calculations are only based on DBH, correct? You did not look at species?
We allowed for the fact, like if, when we calculated the impact of the 24-inch threshold, we allowed for the fact that some of the trees between 24 inches and 30 inches would have already qualified for exceptional status based on species. So we did. There was a small species factor figured in there to allow for that. I believe it was 7%.
I'm sorry, what percent?
7%. So we randomly eliminated about 7% of the trees from this study before we overlaid the parcels on them to account for the fact that some of the trees in that were between 24 inches and 30 inches would have already qualified for exceptional status based on species.
Okay, and so that's just based upon species that were already categorized as between 24 and 30 inches as exceptional solely by virtue of their species?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, but yeah, that's a combination of your species and species.
So I'm going to show you Appellant's Exhibit 8. And this is the director's rule for the new designation of exceptional trees. Have you seen this document before? You have? Okay. And so just looking at the first tree, the Alder Sitka, which is exceptional at 6 inches, that was not included as part of your tree analysis, correct?
We didn't specifically exclude any trees based on species from our analysis. We applied a 6%. We estimated that around 7%. In fact, I can't remember what the exact number was of trees overall would not qualify based on species. And we randomly eliminated, based on that, we randomly eliminated 7% of the trees before we did the overlay.
Okay, so you eliminated the ones that, based on size, would be exceptional under the new ordinance, but were also exceptional under the current ordinance, but not based upon being 30 inches, based upon its species. Is that correct?
That was it.
Okay. But that only accounts for the exceptional trees between 24 inches and 30 inches, correct?
Right, because the species factor does not apply to significant trees.
I'm sorry, does not apply to?
The significant trees, to the 12-inch.
Right.
There's no species factor below 24 inches.
That you accounted for.
There is no species factor below 24 inches. The significant tree definition doesn't take species.
So I'm going to show you again the, so it's your understanding that the new definition of exceptional trees is just any tree that's 24 inches or greater?
I could be mistaken, but I believe that they also could apply to species. They don't want to apply species.
Mr. Spear?
A species table.
Mr. Spear, I'm going to ask you to repeat your answer to that question so you get on the record. Your microphone didn't pick that up.
The answer is I don't know.
Okay. Mr. Spear, have you seen the proposed tree protection ordinance?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm showing you what is exhibit, appellant's exhibit 4, and here's the definition of exceptional tree. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it says exceptional tree means a tree or group of trees that, because of its unique historical, ecological, or aesthetic value, constitutes an important community resource and is deemed such by the director pursuant to standards promulgated by Seattle Department of Construction and Inspection. And then it goes on, and this is the new portion, says exceptional trees include all heritage trees, individual trees that comprise tree groves, and all trees identified by the director's rule. Do you see that? Okay. And now I'm going to show you again what was appellant's exhibit 8, and I'll represent to you that this is the draft director's rule. And then at table 1 here, it says exceptional tree species 6 inches DSH or greater. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. And so my question to you is isn't it true you did not consider, for example, this first alder Sitka, which is exceptional at 6 inches or greater? Is that correct?
Complex analysis here, and I'm not quite sure how to interpret the question. I'm sorry. I'm a little lost in the details here. I don't remember the details of this species factor calculation, to tell you the truth. But I do know that we didn't do anything to identify individual trees, species of individual trees, as part of our analysis. Our analysis.
Okay.
Done that way.
So when we look at your PowerPoint and all the documents, there's no discussion on the specific species of trees, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we've talked about the methodology that you used to determine the number of trees greater than 24 inches and the number of trees greater than 12 inches. Okay. And you said you reduced the number of exceptional trees because you were trying to determine how many new exceptional trees would be covered by this ordinance, correct?
And Mr.
We reduced the number of the incremental, the change, the delta. We didn't reduce the overall number of significant trees because the original 30-inch calculation had those I'm sorry, exceptional trees in it. So when you look at the figures under 30 inches is actually for existing exceptional trees. So the numbers are the numbers are summarized in a way that the 30-inch figure includes all exceptional trees. So we don't want to double count those.
And how was that number determined? That was, strike that. So you determined the amount of exceptional trees by going through that permit analysis, is that correct?
That was correct.
Okay. And so again, I know this is, just to make sure that it's clear and that I understand what you're saying is, using my hypothetical, just for illustrative purposes here, if there's 1,000 permits and 100 of those permits had a tree review, you determined that 10% of trees in Seattle would be exceptional. Is that a fair statement?
Given those numbers, yeah.
Okay. And you didn't account for that developers might not choose to even apply for a permit if a lot contained an exceptional tree, correct?
We assumed that the same number of developers probably apply for permits and apply for exceptional trees, and therefore it doesn't apply for permits on those exceptional trees.
Okay. And again, you're trailing off just a little bit there, but I think I heard you. Said, we assume that what developers are doing today under the current ordinance, they will be doing tomorrow under the new ordinance.
This analysis assumes that, yes.
Okay.
It assumes that their behavior will be
okay. And my question is, today, under the current ordinance, you did not consider whether a developer would be more likely or less likely to develop a lot with an exceptional tree, correct?
Objection asked and answered.
Response, Mr. Griffin?
I think this is a different question. I know we've kind of gone around this a little bit, but I think you should be allowed to answer it just for clarity purposes.
Yeah, I'm all right with him answering it. I vaguely recall something similar to this earlier, but it certainly wasn't the most immediately recent question, so I'll allow it.
You did ask it.
So under the current tree protection ordinance, you did not consider whether a lot with an exceptional tree, strike that. Under the current tree protection ordinance, you did not consider whether a developer would be more likely or less likely to develop a lot that contains an exceptional tree. Is that correct?
I didn't consider that, no. That was not a factor in my analysis.
All right, I'm going to ask us to pause there. Mr. Griffin, I assume you, how much longer would you have with the witness?
I don't know if I can finish by 5. I think I probably have a little bit more than that.
Okay. Regardless, Mr. Spear, we'll have to come back. We have cross and cross redirect. So let's pause there and look to our schedule. Mr. Mitchell with Mr. Spear returning, having additional time. Looking at our schedule today, we made it through 2 3/4, 2.5 witnesses. You indicated that you have 4, which one of those we just covered. So we've got 3 1/3 witnesses, as it were, to go. If we did the same pace, that would take up a day. We have an indication from the intervener that there are witnesses remaining and potentially 1 or 2 for the appellants as well. It seems to me that we need to look to scheduling some additional time to make sure we accommodate the existing witness and witness lists. Does any party?
I guess I.
Yes, sir.
I should say, Mr. Hearing Examiner, that I can't speak for anyone's length of cross-examination, but I don't think that 2 of the 3 witnesses should take very long. I don't anticipate that they would, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we could get done in a day, but based on our current pace, we could also not get done in a day. So rather than punting till next Wednesday to figure that out, I'd rather do that now. My other question was, does any party intend to call rebuttal witnesses?
Obviously we have not heard from all the witnesses. At this time, I do not anticipate calling any rebuttal witnesses.
Okay. Let's look. Mr. Mitchell?
The city doesn't anticipate calling rebuttal witnesses either, although because there's going to be potentially appellant's witnesses that might testify after, I guess the caveat would be that if anything from their testimony requires another witness, I guess that's potential.
All right. Let's look to scheduling another day so that we at least have it on the schedule. I certainly don't mind if we finish on the 22nd, but rather than waiting until that day to schedule, I'd rather do that now, if possible. I know that's challenging because you don't know witness availability, but you also don't even know which witnesses might spill into that day. So you won't have any better information on that really on the 22nd than today, I would assume. So you have your schedules. The next available day for full hearing for my office is the 28th, Tuesday the 28th of June. Does that day present a conflict for any of the parties based on your schedules at this time?
So it does for me. I'm still in a trial that's been ongoing since May, and I know I had that date for a different land use hearing, but I released it with the court. I do have the 29th available, and then there's no trial on Friday, which would be, well, actually, Friday I'm not available, so the 29th I would be.
Let's check the 29th with Mr. Mitchell and Ms. Newman, that it is clear with our schedule as well.
Sure. I had to check with my witnesses and, like, an opportunity to email tomorrow morning right away.
Okay.
I'm assuming they're available, but it's not positive.
Okay. Yeah, if you can check that. Are you available, Ms. Newman?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Mitchell?
I'm available. And I guess, Ms. Newman, I'd probably need to just confirm with my the remaining witnesses.
All right.
As to their availability.
Right.
Mr. Clowers would be available.
Thank
okay,
you.
There's one. all right, don't everybody else chime in, please. What I'm going to do is we're going to plan on that. So please plan on that in your schedule. I'm not going to add another pre-hearing order. We're just going to add that to the calendar and plan on it. We will set aside that day for this hearing, recognizing we have questions about witness availability. It's hard to even figure that out because we don't know what witnesses would go to that day. But what you can manage possibly with your discussion of witnesses is if someone is not available on the 29th, we can give priority to them on the 22nd so that we can get everybody done, hopefully. And I hear you all, maybe we'll get done on the 22nd. I just want to, looking at, you know, given the conversation we just had, if we wait another week, that can get more complicated. So the plan is right now to continue the hearing through, and I'm just orally ordering this, I will not issue another written order continuing the hearing. We're setting aside on our calendar for the 29th of June at this time. We'll put that on our calendar so it doesn't get taken, and parties will let us know if it's an absolute no for them, and we'll look to something else at another time. Is there anything else we need to address before we conclude for today, recognizing we will be back on another day of hearing? June 22nd, Wednesday.
Not for me, thank you.
Yeah, nothing from the appellant.
Nothing from the city. Nothing from the city.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Look forward to seeing you next Wednesday, 9 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.